Book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll start reading at verse number 10 of chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the word of God. Thank you for this great time you've brought us here today, Lord, where we can fellowship with one another and sing and pray and just do the things, Lord, that's right to do on Sunday. But Lord, now it's time for the preaching of God's word. We ask you for the blessings of God be upon it. We need you, Father. We need your power and your wisdom today. And I ask you, Lord, to use this preacher to preach the message that you've given him this day. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I read to you that portion of Scripture. We find the devil was cast into the lake of fire. That's where the false prophet was, and the false prophet and the beast were. And they'd already been there approximately 1,000 years. And there we find then he comes to the end of that portion of Scripture in chapter 20. We find that those that are judged, these are those that are judged because they did not believe, because they did not believe in Christ, was cast into the lake of fire. So we kind of, if you'll give me, help me a little bit with a picture of this, kind of imagine standing at Judgment Day. And here those who have never believed, not trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, literally taken and cast through into the lake of fire. Now, the Bible tells us, and let me read one more verse in chapter 21, verse number 8, that but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now you notice here again it mentions an illustrious group of people who will be there. I would not want to spend eternity with this type of people, but I want you to notice in the second one that's mentioned, it says the unbelieving. Now basically a person, when a person is cast into the lake of fire at judgment seat, it's because they had not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you probably understand that. There needed to be a time in a person's life when they've believed upon Christ. They've been born into God's family. Now what I want to do, I want you to go back with me to the book of John. Book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 3. Read to you a few verses as we get ready to preach this message. Chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now listen to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, if you'll notice here, God gives us the way of salvation. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But in verse number 14, he gave the story as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. If you go back to Numbers chapter 10, you'll find the story there of how there was a serpent made out of brass lifted up upon a pole, and there was a curse upon the people of Israel at that time, and they were dying by the hundreds and hundreds. So we find out that Moses came to intervene in this and asked God to do something, and he told him to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and lift it up, and whosoever would look upon it would be healed. In other words, would not die from that curse. Now, God is saying here in this portion of Scripture, it's just like that concerning Jesus Christ. Now, when it talked about just look upon that serpent of brass, it did not mean you just take a glance at it and seen it. No, they looked upon it and they saw it and they believed that they would be healed because they was told they would. Same thing it is in Jesus Christ lifted up upon the cross. If a person truly will believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died there for their sins, and they truly believe that, and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will be saved. They will have eternal life. And so he said that the reason he'd done that was because God so loved the world. Now what I want to know is this. We look in verse number 18 and you'll notice that the person who believes is not condemned. But a person who believes not is condemned already. Now what we want to stress this morning is this. The reason the people came to the in the book of Revelation to the judgment here, the white throne judgment, is because they had never believed. They had never believed. They've never trusted Christ as their personal Savior. That's the only reason they're standing back here at the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and they're cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because they never truly believed. Now let me stress this, because this is important. I hear it all the time. I heard it yesterday. I heard it on, Wednesday. Someone told me the same thing. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Now, wait a minute. There's no evidence whatsoever in their life that they believe. I want you to understand something. Just to believe with your head is not going to get you to heaven. The Bible says we must believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. There's a big difference in the head belief and the heart belief. A person who believes in their head can say, I believe about God. That's what this person was telling me. Oh, I've always trusted Christ. I said, how long? Oh, ever, forever I have. No evidence of this in their life whatsoever. They think, well, I believe in Christ. Well, that's good to believe in Christ, but you've got to believe in your heart. Now, you understand it has to be a heart belief, something you really, truly believe. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You put your faith, your trust in him and him alone, no one else. Amen. It's not just a head thing that says, I believe there was a God, I believe there was a Jesus Christ, I believe this, I believe that. It's a heart belief that says, I'll go to heaven because my faith, my trust is in Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. So we find here, God says, a person who does not believe in that way is condemned already. You do not have to go out and do anything so terrible that you would think, now I deserve hell. We deserve hell because we do not believe. Okay, now do we understand that? We deserve it. We deserve to stand there at the great white throne judgment, to be cast into the lake of fire. Why do we deserve that? Because we have not believed, truly believed in our heart. Okay, so what I'm going to preach on this morning is, I'm going to preach on what stands between a man and hell. What is it From here, a person is condemned already because they have not believed. Why will they at least have an opportunity to come here and not come to the white throne judgment? What is it that stands between them and hell? I want to give you a simple message this morning, that there is some things that stand between you and hell, you and the lake of fire. God has arranged it that way. Okay? Now, first of all, I'm going to start with the matter that, of course, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying upon the cross of Calvary, stands between us and hell. Now, I want you to go with me over to the book of 1 Timothy, the second chapter of 1 Timothy. Hold your place, if you haven't already done it. Hold your place in John. You probably already turned that, but we want you to hold your place there in John 3, if you will, please. And we'll be back there in a moment. But in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, I want to read to you verse number 5 and verse number 6. He says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." God says there's one thing specially above all that stands between a man and hell, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and gave his life as a ransom for everybody, for all. Him dying on the cross of Calvary paid your sin debt. You understand that? We understand that, don't we? We ought to say amen. Jesus died. He paid the cost for every person here this morning. He paid the ransom that it took to buy you back. He took care of all of the sin debt for you, for me, for everybody. Amen. And he did that, and only him and him alone did that. The church as a whole didn't do that. The pastor didn't do that. The deacon didn't do that. The priest didn't do that. The pope didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. None of those other could ever do that. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only he could do it. Amen. He's the only mediator. He's the only mediator between this man, which is all of us, that is condemned already, and the lake of fire. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross. Now, do you get that? Are you listening? It's Christ who died. Now, we're not just talking about thinking, yeah, I read that in the Bible one time. I know that did happen because, you know, the Bible says. But I'm talking about true belief in your heart, that you really put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, it's important that you do that, or you'll stand one of these days at the lake of fire if you don't. Cast into the lake of fire. Amen? Serious business. So you remember, what stands between a man and hell? It's Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being buried, and rose again. Now I want to tell you something else that stands between the man who's condemned and the lake of fire, and that's this book. Now, I'm going to take you over to, in this book, to 2 Timothy. If you had your place marked in Timothy, but 2 Timothy, I want to show you something here in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse number 13. We'll start reading there. Read a few verses. Verse number 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Stop there just a moment. Now, he said, we know that it's Christ, the Son of God, who died upon the cross for our sins. How do we know that? Through the book, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. That's how we know that, you see. And he even told Timothy here, he says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, what? Unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, are you getting that? Now, you can't be saved any other way. Now, you can say, I've been going to church for 30 years or 10 years or 5 years. That's good. Go to church for the rest of your life. But don't depend on church going to get you to heaven. No, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You must put your faith, and that's what he says in that verse of Scripture. It's salvation through faith, which is in who? Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the way we get saved. Because then he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God, King James Bible, that's what it is. And it's the Word of God, amen, and it'll tell you how to be saved. You can't find out how to be saved any other way except through the Word of God. Someone tell you how to be saved, they had to use the Word of God to do it. We agree with that, amen? Whether it was in a tract form or whatever form it was in, somebody told you how to be saved. They showed you through the Scriptures how to be saved. Amen? Why? You had to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, have we got a hold of that? You see, the Word of God stands between a man that's condemned and the lake of fire. Why? Because that Word of God tells us about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And so the Word of God is God's Word, and it stands between. God doesn't want you to, God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to be cast into the lake of fire. No, he doesn't. Why? He left his Word to tell us how we wouldn't have to. Amen. Told us about Christ. Now, there's another thing that stands, and of course all goes together, but there's another thing that stands between a man condemned and the lake of fire, and that's the love of God. I want to tell you why. Why in the world would God fool around with us? Why in the world would God care? But I want you to go with me back now over to the book of John, the 3rd chapter of the book of John. We read this a while ago, but I want to read also a few other verses. It says in chapter 3 of John, verse 16, we'll read first of all, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why is it that you don't have to go and be cast in the lake of fire? Because of the love of God. Because God loved you so much that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for your sin. Amen. He loved you. He loves you today. Yes, he does. I don't care how bad of a sinner you may think you are. God loves you, wants to save you, wants to give you eternal life. Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. He's long-suffering. How long has he been long-suffering with you? He was long-suffering with me for 26 years before I got saved. That's a long time. I've led people to Christ when they're up in their 80s and 90s. Not a whole lot of them, but some. And he was long-suffering with them. All of those years. Why? So they'd be saved. Maybe you're not that old. Maybe you're just a young person. You may be 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. God's been long-suffering for you for 15 years. He wants to save you. Wants to give you eternal life. Amen. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. And see, the love of God stands between you and someone who's condemned and the lake of fire. The love of God. You're going to have to trample underfoot the love of God to be cast into the lake of fire one of these days. Because God loves you. And he sent his Son to die for your sin. And he pinned it down in a Bible, the Word of God, so you could read it and you could understand it. You could be taught from the Bible that God loves you. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you folks, God loves you. God wants you to be saved. I want to stay right there in John 3rd chapter, and I want to read something to you. I want you to listen in verse number 1 of the 3rd chapter. I'm going to read it. "There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to the Jews by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, that's interesting because old Nicodemus was a very religious person. He was he believed about God and all those things, and he even told Jesus that he was a rabbi, he was a teacher. He believed it. He said, you've done these miracles. My goodness sake, we've seen you do these miracles. You must be from God. There may be some folk like Nicodemus here today that believes that God did wonderful things, that God has performed miracles, you know, and that he's a good teacher. And there may be some folk right here today that believe that, but have never been saved. And listen to what Jesus said to him, answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, here's a very religious person. Here's a person who just simply said to him, you know, we believe you're a great teacher. We believe the miracles you're doing. You must be of God. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Now, what we want to say to you this morning is, folks, you may believe a lot of good things about Jesus Christ, but have you ever been born again? Have you had the experience of the new birth? Has there been a time when you've been saved? You've been born into God's family. Has there been that time when you've been born again? Mine was in 1966, in April of 1966. I was religious before that. I went to church. I was religious. You maybe done the same thing. You did these things, but you'd never been born again. 1966, I called upon Christ and asked him to save my soul, give me eternal life. Why? Because I knew I needed it. I knew I was a sinner, lost, hopelessly lost. And so God saved me and gave me eternal life. Why? Because I was willing to confess to God that I was an old sinner and he was the Son of God and he died on the cross for my sin. And I was going to put my faith, my trust in him and him alone. And at that point, I got a new birthday. New birthday. God saved me and give me eternal life. Now, what I want to say to you is this. The simple plan of salvation stands between a person condemned and the lake of fire. I want to tell you something. It's simple to get saved. Now, here was a man who was very, 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 I suppose you would say, wise worldly. He was smart. But he couldn't understand this very simple plan of salvation. Here's what's said. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. I say to you this morning, marvel not that this preacher would say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. There must be a time of new birth. You see, you might be like old Nicodemus. You may be smart, you may be wise, but worldly so, but you've never been born again. You don't understand spiritually that you have to have a new birth. You have to be spiritually born again. There has to be a time. Amen? So I say to you that the simple plan of salvation, and it is simple, it's plain and simple. Plan of salvation stands between a person condemned and the lake of fire. It's so simple. God has made it that simple for us. You can't say, I don't understand it. No, it's too simple to say that. You can understand it. God wants you as a sinner to say, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm hopelessly lost, and Christ, you're the only way of salvation. You died on that cross for my sins. You paid the cost for my sins. You did it all, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in you. I'm going to ask you to give me eternal life. It's simple. Amen. A lot of folk been saved right here in this place right here. Why? Because of the simple plan of salvation. You can be too. Now, you need to be born again. If you're unsaved, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. Amen? Now, I want to tell you something else. I want to go over to the book of 2 Timothy for a few moments. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I want to give you something else that stands between a person condemned and the lake of fire. Let me tell you what that is. God has called preachers to stand between those condemned and the lake of fire. Listen to what he says in 4th chapter, verse number 1, 2 Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What's he telling him to do? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know what he told Timothy, the preacher, to do? He said, just preach the word. And he says, you be instant in season and out of season. You just preach the word anytime, all the time. You just preach the word of God. If it's in season, okay. If it's out of season, folk like it, okay. And folk don't like it, okay. Preach the word. You just preach the word. And he says, what do you do with it? Well, you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You just keep doing it. You just keep preaching the word. You just keep doing it no matter what happens. You just keep preaching the word. Why? Because God has ordained preachers to stand and proclaim the gospel message of salvation and the wonderful message about Jesus Christ and the wonderful love of God from his book, the Bible. And he's told us to proclaim that wonderful book and preach that wonderful word of God. Amen. Why? So folk will be saved. Now listen what he says next. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after these their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, he said, don't make any difference, because the time has come when folk are not going to want to hear it. They're not going to want to hear it. They'll close their ears. They don't want to hear it. They'll close their eyes. They'll sleep. They'll do whatever they can to not hear the word of God. They'll ignore the preacher. Yes, they will. But he said, don't matter. Just keep preaching. Just keep giving it. Just keep doing it. So God has put preachers between a person condemned and the lake of fire. Amen. That's what I'm here this morning for. I'm here to preach the message that God's given me. Why? So that you won't go to hell. So you'll have an opportunity. So you'll know the way of salvation. Amen. And you'll listen. And then Christians will get on fire because they know it's the message. It's the only one that we need to get out. And we've got to get it out. You don't get tired of hearing the gospel plan of salvation, do you? I've been saved for a lot of years, and I've never grown tired of hearing it over and over and over and over and over and over again. I love to hear the gospel preached. You see, a lot of people can preach the gospel a lot better than I can, but none of them can preach a better gospel. Because there is no better gospel. Gospel of Christ, the Son of God. Amen. So you remember something. It's a simple plan. And God has sent preachers to preach the wonderful word of God. And we've just got to stick with it. We just got to keep doing it. Can't quit. Do it week after week after week, day after day if we can. Just keep preaching the word of God. Keep doing it. Why? So there might be folk here that's never been saved. Never been born again. Doesn't know if they died today, they'd go to heaven. They don't know that. So they need to hear it. Amen. Now let me tell you something else that stands between a person condemned and the lake of fire. It may surprise you, but I want to tell you something. It's good, old-fashioned, God-honoring, God-loving deacons. God has placed deacons in the church for a very specific reason. And yes, they're to be servants, but they're to be an example of godliness. A deacon has to stand for right and do right down through the years. You've heard it, probably you may have seen it in churches. I don't know what you've seen, what you haven't seen. But I want to tell you something. There's been all across America, there's been deacons that has absolutely just ridiculed the name of Christ by their life. But listen to me, there's also been wonderful deacons that has established their life in such a way that they love the word of God and they serve God and they love souls. A deacon ought to love souls of men. They ought to see, want to see people turn to Christ so they won't have to stand at the lake of fire. They ought to love the church and where they're deaconing. They ought to support and love the preacher and the pastor and love the church where God has given them the privilege to serve. They ought to have a heart for the work of God and care what happens to the work of God. And I'll guarantee you something. A deacon like that, I'm going to tell you what, it'll just help stand in the gap between condemnation and the lake of fire. It'll help turn hearts to God. One of the greatest needs today in this world today is good old-fashioned deacons that'll just stand for truth, steadfast, stick by the stuff, and just keep going on. Why? So all these folk around them will know what's right and how it is to be a deacon. These young people will see these deacons and realize that's what you do because you're a deacon. That's what you do because you're a deacon's wife. Amen? What kind of example are we setting? I'll say the same thing about Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers are to live the life. Honor God by, yes, teaching the Word of God, what it says every Sunday. Get up, be prepared. You ought to be prepared to teach your Sunday school class. I mean, you ought to be over-prepared if you have to be. Prepared to teach the Word of God. And then you ought to live the life. Now, I mean live the life, the godly life. Just not putting on a show. But you live the life. You're not a gossip. Stir up strife. No Sunday school teachers that love God and will stand in the gap between condemnation and the lake of fire is people who just get in there and teach and teach and teach and keep teaching and keep doing it and keep living it and keep doing it all the time. Where these little boys and girls can look up to them and say, that's my Sunday school. Heard me tell the story of the Sunday school teacher when she met this little girl down in the store, and the little girl run and said, Mommy, Mommy, there's God. Now I know you say, wait a minute, to them, that's what they see. No, I know they're not God, but that's what they see. That's what they see. No, we'd point them back to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, where they belong. But I want to tell you something. Sunday school teachers to young children are very, very special. Very precious. Very special. Amen? And they need to have a Sunday school teacher they can look up to. That honors God. That cares enough to pray for them every week. And goes and sees them. Visits them, and when they're sick, send a card or whatever you have to do. But you show a care for the Sunday school teacher. For the Sunday school student. Amen? That right? Am I preaching heresy? I'm telling the truth. You know what? That'll help. That'll help stand in the gap between those that's condemned, and that's all of us, and the lake of fire. Turn us away from there. Get us to know Jesus. Amen. Show you over in 1 Timothy. Go back to 1 Timothy. Second chapter. Give some instructions. You say, okay, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. That leaves me out. Oh, no, it doesn't. Are you a child of God? You born again? Look what he says, and I'm going to start reading in verse 7 where I left off. It says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I teach a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore, what do you want men to do? That men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What's he tell the men to do? You hold up holy hands. You mean, when I pray, I'm to hold up my hands. No, hold up holy hands. Hands that are godly hands. Living godly lives. Folks, that's not just to the preacher. That's just not to the Sunday school teacher. That's to every single one of us.
And God says, you want to stand in the gap between the condemned and the lake of fire? Get to praying. And pray from the standpoint of holy lives. We have no right to call ourselves Christian and not walk with God. No right whatsoever. And we need to be praying. You want to stand in the gap? Listen, I talked with Mrs. Lundy yesterday. Spoke with her for a few moments, sat and visited her in the hospital. And she thought maybe she might get to go home today, but I don't know if she will or not. But anyway, she was telling me something. She said, all of my kids are saved now. She said, Chuck, she always tells us every time we go that she remembers the time when Chuck got saved. We led Chuck to the Lord years ago. She tells us that practically every time I go to see her, and that's been way back there. She said, now all my kids are saved. Now Jim, he just passed away. And she says, he's saved. He's in heaven. Chuck's in heaven. And she said, but I've got one grandson that isn't saved. Oh, Pastor, I was so worried for him. His name is Richard Lundy. They call him Dick or Dickie. She calls him Dickie. And he said, Mom, Grandma, quit calling me Dickie. Call me Dick. You know how you get a little older. You know, you don't want to be called. And he's unsaved, and she is worried to death. And she says, you know what she said? She said, I pray every day and sometimes two times a day for him that he'll get saved. Now, she said, my son Bill is trying to find out where he's at so he can go see him and try to get him saved again. Why? Why do you think her children and grandchildren are saved? Praying with holy hands. You know Mrs. Lundy? Holy hands. Praying. Praying, not letting God alone. So I'm saying to you, you want to stand in the gap between the condemned and the lake of fire? Get to praying. Get to praying for these folks that's unsaved. Get a hold of God for them. Amen? And then he didn't leave the ladies out either. He says in verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls of costly ray, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. You know the one way? He told the men to hold up holy hands and to pray. He told the women, you adorn yourself in a modest apparel. In other words, look like a Christian. Live a holy life. Don't make any difference what people say to you, whether they make fun of you or not. Just live holy. Look like God's child. Set an example between these over here that's condemned and the lake of fire so you'll stop them from going there. Amen. Ladies, men, it's to all of us. Live godly. We have no right to not live godly. Amen. Now, this instruction's for us, isn't it? I mean, is it okay? Are we going to just pass it off? Just pass it off? No. God's told us how to live, what to do. Why? Because there's people over here condemned, and we don't want them to be cast in the lake of fire. Isn't that right? See, now some folk just don't take these kind of things. You know why? They don't want it on their shoulders. No, they don't want it on their shoulders. They want to do what they want to do. They want to live the way they want to live. But I want to tell you, you're going to be held accountable for it. You're going to be held accountable for it. Oh, yes, you are. You can laugh. You can make mock. You can do anything you want to, but you're going to be held accountable for it. It's your responsibility to stand in the gap. I want to show you one other thing. Go with me over to John, the 16th chapter. Verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Verse 9, he said, of sin, because they believe not on me. Let me tell you something. The cross of Christ, we know that stands in the gap. That's paramount. Without him dying on the cross, we could not have eternal life. It's an impossibility. God gave us the Word of God to tell us about that wonderful cross, tell us about the wonderful truth. He also, by the love of God, showed us how much he loved us. Told us in the Bible how much he loves us. It's because of the love of God he cares for us and wants us saved. It's a simple plan of salvation. Very simple. Very simple. To be saved. Preachers are commanded to preach it. And people are commanded to pray and to live holy lives. Amen? Now, the reason I said all that was this. But without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, there'll be nothing accomplished. God has put the wonderful comforter, the convicting Holy Spirit of God, in our path to turn us from our condemnation so that we will not have to be cast in the lake of fire. Now, I just want to tell you something. Holy Spirit of God is here today. And if you're unsaved, he's wanting to convict you of sin. He wants you to understand you're a sinner, lost, hopelessly lost, and that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that gets down in you and works a work there that maybe you can't understand. I didn't understand it when God was working on me. I didn't know all what was going on. But I want to tell you, Holy Spirit wouldn't turn me loose. I heard the preaching of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit inside said, you need to get saved. I didn't understand it all, but you just need to get saved. And I'm saying to you today, that same Holy Spirit may be working on you today, saying to you, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. But it's an amazing thing. God has allowed, he's allowed you to ignore him if that's what you choose to do. No, he'll do his work. But if you choose to ignore him, one of these days you'll stand before the lake of fire, and according to the Bible, be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever and forever. No ending. But you don't have to. Wonderful truth is, if you'll just mind the Holy Spirit of God today and respond to the truth of the Word of God, that you need to be saved, that you're a sinner. Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? You're a sinner. And God won't allow sinners in heaven. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, there's no perfect. No, I know. Jesus has already shed his blood and washed the sin away. When you accept Christ as your Savior, put your faith and trust in Christ, he washes your sin away in the blood of Jesus. Now, if you've never been born again, you need to get saved today. You need to just come on up this aisle when we start the invitation. I mean, you can come right now if you want to. We're going to start an invitation in just a moment, and we're going to have people standing right up here. You come up to them and say, you know what, I don't think I'm saved. Or I know I'm not saved. I want to be saved. God's worked on my heart today. I need to be saved. Amen. Maybe Christians here today that just need to come to an altar prayer and say, I'm not standing in the gap. I'm not taking this thing serious. I'm not standing the gap like I ought to. Maybe that God needs to work on your heart and bring you to an altar prayer this morning as we pray. You bow your heads, close your eyes, please. You say, Brother Ross, I'm here today, and you know, when you ask the question, are you 100% sure if you died, you'd go to heaven, I could not say yes. I'm not sure. Everybody's head bowed, eyes closed. Head bows, eyes closed. You say, I am not sure that I'm saved. Would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Ross, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'm concerned. Now, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to call your name. I'm going to come to you. You say, okay, thank you. God bless you. I'm not sure. I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone else say, I'm not sure. Right over here. Amen. God bless you. I'm not sure I'm saved. Not sure I'm born again. Yes. Thank you. Back here. Thank you. Thank you. Not sure I'm saved. But I'm concerned. I don't want to be cast into the lake of fire. I want to go to heaven when I die. And I know I'm an old sinner. And I'm lost and I need to be saved. Someone, yes, sir, I see that hand. I see it. You can put your hand down. That's good. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Now, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to pray for you by name, but I'm going to pray for you. What God would have you to do is when we begin the invitation here in just a moment, we're going to have you stand. You need to step from where you are, come forward, get this thing settled. Once and for all, get it settled. So you'll know when you walk from this place, you'll go to heaven. Heavenly Father, again today, I do thank you for the wonderful way of salvation. Christ certainly is the way. The Bible told us about that. He's the wonderful way of salvation. We know without the new birth, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's been those this morning, Lord, that has responded to that invitation. And we pray, Father, for them that here in just a moment, oh, Father, that they would have the courage to just simply stand and come and get alone here with God. Let us help them to know for sure they're ready for heaven. Now, Father, we put this invitation in your hands. And also, Father, there may be Christians here today that just need to take a new look at their life and say, God, I'm just not what I should. I'm not standing in the gap. I'm not doing right. But, Lord, whatever the will of God is here today, we pray for it. Your will be done in Jesus' name.